Hey, everybody. Thanks for taking the time to listen to this podcast from Forest City North Church. We're a church in London, Ontario. And our hope is that this message that you're listening to will have an impact on your life. I encourage you to grab a coffee, make yourself a tea, sit back, and enjoy this message.
Thanks so much, Ron. He knows how to embarrass me, and he's not even in the room. I appreciate that, sitting with his feet up somewhere if you're on FaceTime. Hey, Ron. Hey, Desiree. Good to see you. Well, thank you so much. It has been a great morning and a warm welcome. I really appreciate the opportunity to come and share a little bit of what God's laid on my heart this morning. I trust that we all leave this place just knowing a little bit better who God is in our lives. I want to ask you a question. First question this morning is, what was your favorite bedtime story? For some of us, we're going to have to think a little bit farther back. I understand that. For some of you, it may be just like this week, maybe last night. What was your favorite bedtime story? What was it about that story that before you went to bed each night, you had to ask your parents, can you please read the story for me, Mommy? Can you please read the story for me, Daddy? What was it about it that impacted you, that resonated with you in such a deep and impactful way? No doubt your constant asking of that one particular story to your parents drove them crazy because night after night you would ask the same story, time and time again. They probably knew it off by heart. Maybe you're in that zone now. You know what goes around, comes around type of thing, right? Maybe you've been a parent or maybe even last night you read that story for the umpteenth time to your child going, I wish they would pick another story. Your favorite bedtime story. I know even with my children, when they were little, now they're all big now, but when they were little, I loved reading bedtime stories to them. There was a couple of them that stood out to me. One was called The Snowman Postman, and the other one was called The Dragon in a Wagon. Now, I don't know what was so cool about those stories, but I guess somehow, someway, I enjoyed the rhyme and the rhythm of those stories. Maybe it was the artwork around the stories. But they resonated with me, and I loved to tell them the stories. When they veered away from those stories, give me this one, Dad, give me this one. No, let's read The Snowman Postman. I really like that one. What's your favorite nursery rhyme? What's your favorite bedtime story? What makes a great bedtime story? I had to sit and think about this week when I was trying to figure out what I was going to share with you today. What makes it? So I made a list of about six. This is not exhaustive. You probably can think of other things, but let me give it my best try at describing to you what makes a great bedtime story. Every good bedtime story has this. It has a main character that we all love to cheer for, and we want the best outcome for that person or that story character. There always seems to be a bit of mystery that comes with any of these stories, a sense of danger, a sense of mystique. It's common to see something unbelievable happen, something that's a bit bizarre or even supernatural. These are stories that primarily end on a happy note where something great happens. Almost every good bedtime story has a little moral to it. A moral to the story is some good life lesson that the reader needs to take away. Good stories, really good ones, stand the test of time. They last a lifetime. Maybe the stories that you heard from your parents are the stories that you've told your children and maybe even your grandchildren. Those are great bedtime stories. But everyone has their favorite bedtime story, something that is dear to them, something that resonates with them, something that gives them purpose, maybe even has shaped their life just a little bit. The best stories that you can ever hear, though, are those life stories. Remember those life stories that your parents used to tell you? Stories like this, how they may have arrived to this country as a child. How they, my parents, over in the boats. Maybe your parents came over on the plane, but my parents back in the day was on the boat. Maybe the time one of your parents built the tree fort or the hideout somewhere in the neighborhood or in the backyard or in the field. How about that story of maybe your dad or your Uncle Joe who built the bike or the skateboard ramp and it launched them, you know, 10, 15 feet in the air only for them to come down and break their arm? Those were great stories. Dad, tell me that again. How about the version, both your parents' versions of how they met? Because they're very, very different, right? How about those stories? Or how about the stories of life? So for those of you that are under 20, before computers, before internet, before iPhones and iPads and all the other stuff, video games. How about those stories? They resonate with you. Anybody remember the stories of your parents telling you about their journey to school, 5 miles there, 5 miles back, both ways uphill, in 6 feet of snow, carrying all of their books and their lunchbox and all that without a knapsack? But on the way home, they had to stop and get water for the family for supper and for dishes, and they had to stop and milk the cow and feed the pigs. Yeah, those are great stories, aren't they? Their mystique and, you know, all that stuff that come with them. What's your bedtime story? Stories mean everything in our culture. A good story grips every one of our emotions. Our hearts are pounding with excitement 1 minute and then terrified the next minute. Bent over with side-splitting laughter and then clenching our fists with deep rage. Great stories often bring us to tears and then give us a sense of warmth and wonder. In most stories, we feel a sense of anticipation and hope. But the best stories mark us. They mark us in a way that these stories actually become our own story. We live them out because they become who we are. We begin to discover ourselves and the world around us through these stories. They give us purpose and a sense of direction in our life. But every great story lived out and experienced must also be told and retold. Shared and lived out with the people who are around us, and particularly those amazing little children that are in our lives. Ron had announced that this is the first of a number of different talks over the summer called Summer in the Psalms. I didn't understand it was the first one, but I'm privileged to launch this off. So in the book of Psalms, and Ray read it earlier, just a little story there about in Psalm 78, verses 1 through 7. It gives us a clear picture or a snapshot or even a selfie of what amazing stories are found in the Bibles that we found in the Bible that we need to share with our children and why. I'm just gonna jump right in and read a couple of verses right at the beginning of Psalm 78. It goes like this: "O my people, listen to my instructions. Open your ears to what I am saying, for I will speak to you in a parable," which is a story. "I will teach you hidden lessons from our past, stories our ancestors handed down to us." You see, here we have this guy, his name's Asaph. Asaph is kind of like Luke or Lauren. They love to lead the music, and they do such a great job. And I entered into that this morning. It was so filling for my soul. But this guy, Asaph, lived in the time of King David in the land of Israel. If you don't know who King David is, when he was a little guy, he had the stone and the slingshot, and he slew Goliath. I don't know if you remember that story, if you ever heard that story, the David and the Goliath story. Well, this is the same king. This is the same guy. But Asaph was the worship leader in the temple at that time, and he would lead the people of Israel in their time of singing, their time of worship, and he's right before he's about to do that, he stops everybody. Everybody's with great anticipation. They may have heard the first chord that Luke would play. And they says, "Stop for a second. I need you to listen. I want to tell you a story. I need to remind you of some of the stories of our past. I want you to think about what God has done in our lives and has brought us through. I want you to understand that these stories changed our lives, changed our destiny, changed who we are as a community, as a culture, as a nation, and has brought us here today. And I want to remind us not to forget these stories. They're real stories. There's a moral to the story type of thing. There is instruction that came from these stories. But what were these stories? Why were they handed down from their parents and their grandparents? There were stories around the events, the life of this nation Israel in their journey with God. How God made a promise to their forefather Abraham, and how he promised that he would bless him with countless generations of children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren and so on. He would be their God and they would be his people. They were stories of promise that God would provide through Abraham's family, even a great king who would one day come and bring them back to God through his sacrifice of his own life. this story and all the other great stories of God's grace and love to the many people he would devote himself and they would devote himself to, and they would follow him in obedience. But Asaph gives some clarity or purpose as to why these stories are so important for these people to hear at that moment and to continue to share with the generations to come. He says, make it a priority to share these stories with your children. Tell it to the next generation about God's glorious provision and leading and protection, his power and his mighty wonders. Tell them all to your children. Verse number 4 goes this way. We will not hide these truths from our children. We will tell the next generation about the glorious deeds of the Lord, about his power and his mighty wonders. Don't hide these things from your children. Why were these stories so important that they needed to be passed down to the next generations? Verse 5 goes this way. It says, for he issued his laws to Jacob. He gave his instructions to Israel. He commanded our ancestors to teach them to our children. We pass it on. The great stories, the great teachings, the great learnings that you and I gain in life, we share them with our children. Don't hold them back. Let them know what they are. Let them know how you overcome and how you had victory. God actually, in these stories, sets boundaries for his people that would help them to live lives that were joy-filled and fruitful, lives with purpose and fulfillment. If followed, God promises a life that is whole, that they'd be able to handle all the struggles and the messiness that would come their way. And I don't know about you, but there's a lot of messy stuff that happens in my life. And it's great to hear these stories in the Bible that encourages me and gives me faith and gives me hope. God gave instruction on how to live and to love and to interact with all the people around us, even those people that we don't want to love. God helps us to do that as we study the Bible and all the stories around it and those great people. But mixed into all these instructions was this one important, or this priority to pass on to every one of us who are listening to Asaph as he says this to the children of Israel, listening right now as we read it together. He says this, don't hide these things from your children. Pass them on. Be deliberate about it. Be direct about it. Encourage your children. Open their hearts up wide to who God is. But not just what they can learn about God, but also how to interact with him, what your journey is like with him. How is your journey with God? How are you exploring him? How are you investigating him? How are you discovering him every day? How you interact with God and how you speak to him and listen to him. How he has provided for your needs and protected you from harm and comforted you when you were hurting and encouraged you when you were down and celebrated you in your great accomplishments. But there is a protection and insight that comes with passing along these stories of God to our children. Verse 7 goes this way. So each generation should set its hope anew on God, not forgetting his glorious miracles and obeying his commands, setting their hope on God. Telling these incredible stories will set up each new generation to have this opportunity to place their hope in God. See, God desires to have this personal, intimate relationship with not only you, but with your children. Our teenagers, if you got little ones, many of them are out, you know, in your children's ministry. Some of them are young kids. I know my 13-year-old just graduated grade 8. I love that. It was great for him. He's excited about high school, scared at the same time. I'm scared. He's excited. It's great. Those kids, the young teenagers, your teenagers, if you've got adult children, you have grandchildren, what children in your life? Share these stories of the Bible with your kids the best way that you know how, so that you can help them to experience what you're experiencing as parents. You're trying your best to figure out who God is in your life, what the Bible means to you, who Jesus is, and you're trying to walk forward in that. Share that with your kids. Tell them those faith stories. We're living in a generation where the average child, I think it would be safe to say this, I'm going to take a risk, but I think I'm pretty safe in this. Here in Canada, or maybe even in London, where the majority of children grow up not knowing or understanding who God is, who Jesus is, or have no understanding of what the Bible is about at all. I think I'm safe in saying as well that the reason for this is partly because maybe we as parents were never shared those same stories from our parents. And it kind of leaves us at a disadvantage a little bit. And so, and maybe if you were, somebody did share these stories with you, maybe they weren't impactful for you. Maybe they were just nursery rhymes. Maybe they were just bedtime stories, and that was it. There was no meaning to it. There was no impact to it. And then as a result, me as a parent, I go, well, it didn't mean much to me when I was growing up, so why should I even bother sharing them with my children? Why bother? No meaning, no impact, no purpose. They're just cute little stories. So where do you and I come in? Where does that leave us? I think it becomes personal for all of us. Here's where I think the pattern can stop or even change. That you and I can step in and we can be that light for those children and sharing what God is doing in our lives with them. I'm not sure where you are in your faith journey today. It's possible that you've arrived here for the very first time. Maybe this is your second week. Maybe your first time was last week at the Canada Day celebrations. Welcome. Thank you for coming back. That is awesome. Maybe you've got lots of questions and you just don't know. Don't worry, you're not alone. If you think you're alone, you're not. We all have those questions. Wondering who God is, what it's all about, who Jesus is in all the scheme of this. What is the Bible anyway? I don't understand it. I've never heard it. Nobody's explained it to me. All those questions are okay. Don't worry about it. God will help you as you explore him and discover him. Or maybe you're someone that's been coming here to church for the last few months, or maybe the last year, and you're starting to begin this relationship with God in this really cool way, and you've started putting some of the pieces of the puzzle together, and now you're starting to understand how Jesus fits in it all, and some of the fear that you once had about the Bible is now starting to kind of drift away just a little bit. Or maybe you're someone who's been active in your faith, growing in your faith over the last few years, and you're in that place where you're starting to understand God, and you feel you have a great grip on it, and you even try and discipline yourself every day to spend some time in the Bible just reading, maybe in the morning or through the day. Ray came with his phone. Great place to be reading this stuff. At work, don't do it at the stoplight, whatever you do. But a chance to read and start putting these things together, even to the point where maybe you feel you can do it every day. No matter where you are in your faith spectrum, the writer of this psalm says, listen, please open your ears. I have a story to tell you. I want to teach you these great Bible stories, and I'm going to encourage you not to hold them back from the next generation. Tell them to your children. Because there are lessons that are found in the Bible. They are God's interaction with hundreds and hundreds of people. If you've never, this is a pretty big book, isn't it? Like, there's a lot of pages in here. But there's all these little stories, all these little interactions with God and these great people who were courageous enough to trust God in their moment of brokenness and anxiety and fear. And God speaks to them and speaks through other people to them and encourages them and builds them up. These are stories that were put together over the centuries in this book we call the Bible. And Asaph is saying here, please don't hold these stories back from your children. Let them hear them. Give them an opportunity to understand them and know them. But what's it going to take from us for this to happen? In order to share a story, we must first know a story, right? We must have read it. But I'm going to go a step further. Don't just read the stories of the Bible. Allow them to penetrate your heart and make the shift and this change in who you are so that you'll become that great person of faith that you can share these things with your children and then the people around you. Let them have that impact in your life. That's going to impact your kids and the next generation, God promises, and then the next generation after that, and so on. No matter how long you've been on this faith journey, whether it's just today, or it's been a couple of months, or a couple of years, or maybe even a lifetime, there are a lot of bits and pieces of the Bible that you may be familiar with, and I want to kind of recite a few for you. You may have said, man, he said, I thought that was just a myth, or I thought that was a nursery rhyme, or I thought that was just made up. I'm just going to go down a list really quickly and see if any of them jump off the page at you. These are stories found in the Bible that have impacted people over the generations, continue to impact people today. The creation of the universe, including Adam and Eve. Noah's Ark and the global flood, collecting animals two by two, and the giving of the rainbow, and why and where. Abraham leaving his home to start a new life in a foreign land. Joseph and his coat of many colors. Moses leads his people out of slavery in Egypt, the Ten Commandments. Moses parts the Red Sea and the nation of Israel walk across on dry ground. Samson finds his strength as a mighty warrior through his long hair. My son's got long hair. I think he's a real strong guy. Three men escape from being thrown into the furnace of fire. Daniel spends the night in the lion's den and comes out untouched. Jonah is swallowed by a whale and lives to tell the tale. Can you imagine? Now there's a fish story, right? Mary gives birth to Jesus as a young woman who's never been intimate with a man. Jesus turns the water into wine at a wedding. Jesus walks on the water. Jesus calms a storm just by speaking to it. Jesus feeds 5,000 people with two loaves of bread and five fish. Jesus raises a dead man named Lazarus back to life again. Jesus spits in the mud, rubs his fingers, rubs it on the man's eyes, and he's able to see again. The 12 disciples, the Last Supper. Jesus dies on the cross, and 3 days later, he raises from the dead, and he visits with his followers. The disciples of Jesus speak in languages that they've never learned before. A man falls out of a window. He dies when he hits the ground, and Paul comes out, he puts his hands on him, and he raises him back to life. What a great story. These are stories of excitement, intrigue, tragedy, miracles, love, romance, wars, heroism, mystery, suspense. The list goes on. Any type of genre you enjoy reading is found in the Bible. Any type of genre that your children enjoy listening to is found in the Bible. These are just a few of the hundreds of stories found in the Bible that we're being encouraged to read about. Learn them. If you can memorize them, then it's even better, because then you can tell them when you're riding on the bus or on the plane or in the car with your kids. We're to take the lessons of these stories and live into them. May they not just be stories, just bedtime stories, but may they be the stories that have impacted and changed your life so that you can share them with your children and they can actually see them changing your life and they want to make them their own. We're to take the lessons of them and reveal them to our children. Please don't hide these stories from your children. Our kids look into this world and they see all of its brightness, all of the opportunity, all of the excitement that this world has to offer. But then in real life, when real life hits them tomorrow, and all the confusion and frustration and brokenness, the battles that come in our culture, in their community, in their workplace, in their school, with their family, with their friends, and all the messiness that comes with all of those environments, it can be easy to have no hope. Which one of us have been a little bit concerned about what the future looks like for our kids, for the next generation in our country and our world? The stories of the Bible impact this way. Each one of them are stories of hope in God, that he loves us and that he desires to play this amazing role in each one of our lives and in the lives of our children. The hope that can help us overcome all of the brokenness of this world and be reunited to him on a day-to-day basis. Let me read just a couple here. I want you to consider this. When your children come to you, when your child is afraid to go to school because they may get picked on or made fun of, they may be bullied, tell them about the story of a young lad named David when he was being made fun of and bullied by a giant warrior named Goliath, and he trusted that God would help him to win this battle. And guess what? He took the giant out, and he won victory that day. That's courageous for our children. Or what about when your teenager is overcome with anxiety because they're not the best at writing exams? I understand that. I've been there. My kids go through the same anxiety every time they have to write exams. Tell them the story about Moses, who doubted that he had the right words to tell to Pharaoh, to the king, that the king needed to let the people of Israel go out of the slavery that they were in. But God promised to Moses that he would help him find the words to convince him. And that's exactly what happened, because the Pharaoh released them. When your young adult son or daughter comes to you and says that they have messed up on drugs, alcohol, porn addiction, or sexual impurity, share with them the story of Jesus with this woman who was caught in an adulterous relationship. And Jesus spoke gently to her, words of compassion and words of hope. He didn't accuse her. He didn't judge her. He did say, now you need to stop doing that. But then he forgave her and he loved her, and she became a great follower. Tell your children those stories. These are examples and demonstrations of the new hope that our children need to have in God as they walk through this life, which can be very, very broken and confusing. But please, let me ask this one last question. What kind of impact can these stories from the Bible have on our children? Now, I deliberately missed verse 6. Some of you may have noticed that, but let's go back to verse 6. It says, so the next generation might know them, even the children not yet born, and they in turn will teach their own children. We are promised here that if we share the words of the Bible, the stories of the Bible with our kids, and all the principles and all of its teachings and instructions and guidelines and insight and hope, it has the potential to change their lives, to make them into these great people in their community whom God has designed for them to be, to give them that hope and that strength to face any obstacle that they may come across. And they can do it with power and with strength. I want to wind down our conversation this way. In order to tell the stories with great impact, you must first commit yourself to reading these stories yourself. Reading them in such a way that they will change you, that they will impact you, that they will shape you and mold you. They will no longer remain just bedtime stories, but they will be life stories. When you read this stuff to your kids, and when you teach this stuff to your children, guess what kids are really good at? They can pick out unbelief and hypocrisy just like that. You know what I'm talking about. You've been there, right? You picked it out with your parents, and your kids have picked it out with you. Yeah, which means we need to let it impact us deeply, change us, change our direction, change our perspective. We must believe in these stories and tell them in a way that is about our personal life change. Let me explain it this way. There's no greater story than to tell your children of your own personal faith. Where you are right now, all of your doubts, all of your brokenness, all of your heartaches, all of your questions, there's nothing wrong with that. Our children need to hear those stories. Guess what? They have the same stories themselves. They have the same questions themselves. Tell them these stories. Let your children see you wrestle through it. Let them see you work through it. Let them know when you're doing well. Let them know you're not doing so well. Include them in the process. Let it change your life so it can change their lives. You find this new hope in God so they can find this new hope in God. You can face the future so they can face the future. You must lift out this faith story before your friends and your family. Display it with deep passion and a dependence and a faithfulness and an obedience and an all-consuming love towards Jesus, so that the next generation can be strong behind you. Please let me give this caution, though. This does not mean that we're to communicate that we're perfect, that we're without fault or hurt or confusion or brokenness. We have all of that. This is not what the psalm writer is saying, and it's not what I'm saying. The greatest story that you can tell to your children is how you're exploring God through his son, Jesus. Tell them what you're learning about him, what you're learning about yourself, how he is meeting you where you are, and the peace that you are gaining because of this relationship with him. Tell them of his provision in your life and his faithfulness to his promises. Tell them how you are discovering a new purpose for your life and the opportunity to serve him by serving all the great people that he's placed into your life. Tell them of his grace and how your heart is at peace when you mess up and feel his compassion and forgiveness. Tell them of what used to control you and even break you, and how it's now fading and it doesn't consume you like it once did. Tell them that when you mess up and move quickly from the guilt that can break us, and the shame, that to embracing the forgiveness and the mercy of God. Don't hide your life and your faith stories from your kids. I heard an interesting story a few months back about a group of 12 to 15 millennials. They had recently begun to engage in a journey with God and exploring how they would grow in their knowledge and faith in Him. They openly shared that they had felt that they had been slighted just a little bit. They each had this common question. Why had their parents not told them about God and His love, His grace, His sacrifice, and His forgiveness when they were kids? They felt a bit abandoned at the mindset that they as kids were in charge of making their own decisions on who God is and what kind of faith to formulate, what beliefs that they were to have. They each stated that they would rather have heard about God from their parents. That blew me away when I heard that conversation. They felt that they had missed out, like their parents hid God from them in some way. If you've been given the blessing of children as a parent, it's a great honor. They're a treasure from the Lord. They're a treasure from God. If you're an aunt and an uncle, you've got all these little kids running around because you're the cool aunt or the cool uncle, right? You got all these little ones running around. Or maybe you're a grandparent and you're seeing all these new little ones coming into your family life, and you all love them. I know that. I watch it. I'm not a grandparent, but I watch all the grandparents. They love that. Maybe you're connected with kids at school as a school teacher, or maybe you're a coach in sporting events or anything like that, or recreation in some way, shape, or form. God has placed these little ones into your care. And you and I have this privilege to share God's love and God's grace with them. They're trusting. They're vulnerable. They are inquisitive. And they love to hear a good story. You have a good story. If you're on this faith journey with Jesus, you've got this really cool story, the best story that you could ever tell them. Read these stories to your kids. Tell these stories to the children that God has so blessed you with. It will change their eternity. Bedtime stories. What is so special about bedtime stories? Have you ever noticed at bedtime that with your kids, when you're reading them, if you leave out a word, they call you on it, right? You try and mix it up a little bit, they call you on it. Share these stories. Because what they want to do is to say, Daddy, one more time. Mommy, tell me another story. Asaph says, open your ears to what I'm saying. Your children open the ears of their heart when you tell them these stories of their exploration of God and how you are experiencing Him and working in His in your life day after day. The story of God in your life is the greatest bedtime story that you ever tell your children. It will impact them for today and for eternity. Listen to this song.